Thank you very much. Beautiful. As we continue our time of worship, we want to call our children to come forward for our children's moment. And it is the second Sunday. What does that mean?
Noisy.
Noisy offering. That's right. Now, our noisy... Hold on. Oh, you brought a bucket. Good. We bought extra buckets because we kept running out. What a great problem to have. I promise we didn't use any of our noisy offering money to pay for those new buckets. So, now this week, hold on, this month, our noisy offering is going to our commodities program. The second Tuesday after the first Monday of each month, as confusing as that is, they hand out groceries to people in Todd County. I think last time it was around 180 families. 171. I rounded up. I'm a pastor. We 200 families. No. And so we helped out with that, and we will again do that on Tuesday. And we know that this money will be well spent to help feed those in need. So everyone grab a bucket. And you go, and you make sure to tell them to pony up, okay? I don't know why, but I derive great pleasure in getting the kids all worked up and then sending them to someone else. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Psalm 121. Psalm 121, all eight verses of this Psalter reading. We're going to be spending again our time in Psalms over the next few weeks in Lent and considering these songs that have been penned, many by King David and by others, that remind us of the joy but also of the pain, the sorrow and the encouragement that the psalmists have in their various psalms that they write. Last week we looked at Psalm 32. It was one of the penitential psalms, and we considered that movement from being stubborn to helping stubborn people realize God's grace and seeing that for ourselves. And today Psalm 121 is a song of ascents. It's a pilgrimage psalm, and you'll hear some of that as we read it together this morning, and we'll be reminded of what the Israelites sang as they ascended to the city of Jerusalem, to the temple there, to offer God praise and worship. So Psalm 121 says this: I raise my eyes towards the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God won't let your foot slip. Your protector won't fall asleep on the job. No, Israel's protector never sleeps or rests. The Lord is your protector. The Lord is your shade right beside you. The sun won't strike you during the day, neither will the moon at night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. God will protect your very life. The Lord will protect you on your journeys, whether going or coming, from now until forever from now. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you again so very much for this day that you have given to us and for the opportunity we have to gather in your house to worship you. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this, your word, and we pray that you would be with the words you have given to me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand, and may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. God is our keeper. God is our protector. God is our guardian. Be at rest this morning. Let this psalm put you at ease. And may it remind you that though there are a great many things we have to do yesterday, God is there. And he is going to continue to be with us. God promises to protect and keep us throughout Scripture. We see that in a multitude of places. And here we are told in verse 4 that he never rests or sleeps. His task, his joy, it seems, is protecting and guarding and keeping us. His eye is always on us. His hands are around us. He is here, as we have sung and heard sung this morning. We've spent the last several months considering God's presence with us through Advent and into the new year, and we continue to be mindful of God's presence in this place, God's presence with us as we go from this place. As anxious Americans, we tend to forget that God is with us. We tend to forget what He has done for us. We tend to expect that He will do something greater next time. And when it doesn't quite meet up to what we expect, we get more anxious and we busy ourselves even more. Nothing seems to be quick enough for us. We want what we want, and we want it yesterday. Rest almost seems a commodity to us rather than a way of life as faithful, obedient followers. We think that if we're doing, then we are being faithful. We think if we are busy, we are being good Christians. And how often does God tell us to rest, to relax? There's a reason He doesn't let us see His calendar. We tend to be very busied and very hurried. Tired and busyness has become a badge of honor for us as people. And I think it replaces and stands in the way of our faith far too often. This psalm is God's response to our anxieties, to our hurried lives, to our fears. God clearly indicates that He is our keeper and protector. In fact, He mentions it here 6 times in 8 verses, that He is our protector, our keeper, and that He will spend every moment doing just that, protecting, keeping, being with. I think this psalm is also a response to Cain. Everyone remember Cain? It's the firstborn of Adam and Eve. Less than stellar firstborn, to say the least. Of course, we know he kills his brother Abel because he is frustrated. He's anxious. He's fearful that God receives his brother's offerings more joyfully than he receives his own. And so he invites his brother out for a walk. He kills him. And then God comes to him and says, "Where is your brother Abel?" And what does Cain say in response in verse 4 or chapter 4 verse 9 of Genesis, "Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper?" I love that question because every time I hear it, it reminds me that yes, indeed I am my brother's and sister's keeper. I am just as responsible for you as I am for myself. And praise be to God, He is responsible for all of us. But we tend to hear that, and we tend to reframe this question that he asks, "Am I my brother's keeper?" We tend to say it like this, "Live and let live," right? I don't care what they do over there, right? Out of sight, out of mind. And unfortunately, as Christians, as those who are in covenant together, that's simply not good enough. We are our brothers and sisters' keeper. We are responsible for one another. It isn't just enough that we think only of ourselves, but we must be mindful of the other, just as God is. God being our keeper, our protector, our guardian, challenges us to do the same for others. It encourages us to keep, to protect, and to guard each other. When we see someone doing something they shouldn't be doing, it's our responsibility to come alongside them and to help them. When we see someone doing something wonderful, it's our responsibility to come alongside and encourage them in that gift. It's our task. We are called to make disciples. That doesn't just mean inviting someone to church. It means walking alongside them, being with them in covenant relationship, knowing that God has called us to this and that He expects it of us. As our keeper, God is the one who watches out for what is in our best interest. Did you hear that? God watches out for your best interest. God wants the best for you. He wants His best for you. He probably cares very little about what we think our best is for us. And we can only truly rest when we believe that God wants what's best for us. And so I'll ask you this morning, do you believe that God wants what's best for you? If you do, then now you have the task of following Him as He leads you to that best, to that growth. We talked some in confirmation this morning about the image of God. And this idea of sanctification is growing more and more into the image of God, being more and more the people that we have been created to be. And if we believe that God wants what's best, there's not going to be a whole lot that stops us from following Him, is there? And only when we have that peace and that assurance that God wants what's best for us are we then able to keep and protect and guard others that God puts in our path, that God brings alongside. We are to be each other's keepers. We are called by God as a way of command to be our brothers and sisters' keepers, but more importantly, I think, by way of example, because God continues to show over and over again what that looks like, how we are to do that. It's a messy work. Jesus died because of it, right? He suffered a great many things because He came to be His brothers and sisters' keeper, to do for us that which we were incapable of doing on our own. And we have the opportunity to come alongside others and to do for them what they are unable to do on their own. And this is a difficult task, because sometimes it requires meddling because of our genuine love for the other. Sometimes it requires us to enter into uncomfortable situations and have uncomfortable conversations. Anybody like uncomfortable conversation? I don't know that I like it, but I'm getting more and more used to it. Having those conversations out of a genuine love for the other, right? We heard read in John chapter 3 that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to save it. And in saving it, He had to show us where we fell short, right? He had to show us where we were. When I was a kid growing up, the place to be was at the mall. All the cool kids went there, and I wanted to see what the cool kids looked like, so I would go and I would watch all the cool kids be cool. But in the mall, you've got that map, right? And it says you're here, right? And if I wanted to get to one of the stores, I had to know where I was, right? In the same way, if we want to be more like God, we have to know where we are. Sometimes that means asking somebody where we are. I don't like asking for directions. And luckily, I don't have to anymore. My phone tells me exactly where to go. But it's important sometimes to ask for that help, to seek that assistance. And who do I ask if not my brothers and sisters? who have covenanted to keep me, to protect me, to guard me as I have covenanted to do the same. And sometimes this means saying no. Sometimes it means challenging someone in what they think is right. Sometimes it means encouraging. Sometimes it means unlearning what I thought was right and realizing what is actually right. Right? It's that give and take. It's that relationship that we have with each other, that we are to build and foster with each other, with Christ at the center, keeping us in line, helping us to know. Being each other's keepers means focusing on the other, often at the expense of self. Asking myself, what is most beneficial for you? Not what's beneficial for me, but what's most beneficial for you? Most of the parents in here will understand that in a very real way. What's beneficial for you? And how do we have those conversations? How do we give each other the permission to have those conversations as brothers and sisters in Christ? And in the midst of this difficult, time-consuming thing called ministry, we are afforded the promise of rest as God continues to keep us. We are promised to have rest. God says that He has our best interest at heart and He's going to watch over us. He's going to do for us. And the expectation is that we don't have to worry about ourselves. We can help somebody else because we know that God's got everything taken care of. We just have to continue to be faithful, to continue to be obedient, to continue to trust, which is difficult in and of itself. And at the end of the day, we should probably have a pretty good rest after we've helped our brothers and sisters, after we've trusted God. Because I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes it takes everything I have to trust in God. And it will wear you out. I pray this morning that we find the rest that we need. The rest that is well earned because we have spent time trusting and we have spent time keeping our brothers and sisters. It's a difficult task. It's a messy task. It is often a thankless task, but it is our task nonetheless. And I pray that as we continue to draw closer to God, we will realize the only way we can do that is to draw closer to one another. I pray that we do not overburden or weary ourselves, but instead trust in God. I pray that we will look up to the hills. We will see where our help comes from, and we will then seek to help others. Amen and amen. Let us pray.